Now, as we talk about speaking of Jesus, I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start with verse 19 in just a moment. Today is rule 7 of 8 rules of how to grow in Christ. Rule number 7, though, is to fellowship with godly people. And when you look up on the screen, you see our mission. There's three things we're trying to accomplish here at Covenant. One is that we want to connect people to Jesus Christ, connect people to God. Amen? Because the only hope, the only person that can change is Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with something, the only person that can change you, help you, is Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. Secondly, we also know in order to grow, you have to be connected to God's people. Amen? So our job is that we want to lead you into a relationship with Christ, and we want to help disciple you. And the best way of discipleship is being in a small group. Now, when I say small groups, you know, we have small groups Sunday mornings at 9:30. We have small groups throughout the week. We also have, and that's what I would call the minimum of being in a small group. But we have another group called, or there's two other groups. One is called a Celebrate Recovery Step Study. It's a little bit more intense, takes about an hour, 90 minutes a week, from 9 months, you know, to finish four books that you're working through. Completely transform your life. Incredible biblical doctrine. But to find healing from your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, whatever causing you to be bitter, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend that to you. I've gone through it. Another intensive small group is what we call life transformation groups. In the prison ministries we do, they're called life change groups. And basically what this is that you're making a commitment to read 5 chapters a day from God's Word. All right, that's good. I didn't hear you moaning. I got my hearing aids turned up really loud. All right. So you're going to read 5 chapters a day for 7 consecutive days. If you and whoever you're working with reads those 5 chapters 7 consecutive days, the next week you'll choose another chapter to read, 5 chapters to read. The average person takes 28 days to read 5 chapters for 7 consecutive days. So if you take the book of James that deals with keeping your mouth quiet, anger, attitude, if you read it for a month, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to start changing you. And it's a small group, no larger than 4 people. You take your mask off. You share your vulnerabilities. I mean, it's like CR, just some great things. For more information about these two things in small groups, please see Pastor Scotty in the back. In fact, at the end of service, he'll be up here at the front. I say that because that's what I want to focus on today, is connecting people to God's people. And then the third thing we want to do is connect you to God's mission. And that's about 301 and 401. But this morning, as we look at Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 19, if you have an outline, they're in the back. If you have your Bible, you can open to Hebrews 10. If not, verses are in the outline and also up on the screen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Pray for me. And I'm not on any pain meds this morning, okay? So let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Now, these are my two favorite verses. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Father God, change us. Jesus is coming again. Ready or not, he's coming. Help us to be ready. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so when we talk about fellowship and small groups, we talk about things that unite us, why we have things in common. Most everybody in this room, blue jeans, a shirt, you know, not suit and tie, you know, and that's because we're casual, laid back. You know, and if you're in a suit and tie, that's okay. Next week when you come back, you don't have to wear a tie. But We do things that where we feel comfortable with. And let's look at some doctrinal beliefs out of Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. I think these are some mutual beliefs that we hold in common, but that you would hold in common in a small group. Actually, there's nine of them. I have three slides. There's three per slide. First one is that we have hope. In verse 19, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Because of what Jesus has done, I have hope that I can go before the Father at any time, sharing whatever need, burden, worship, or prayer request. Amen? Amen. We have hope. That hope isn't when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, the Astros will win World Series. That's iffy snuff. When we talk about biblical hope, it is a fact. It is certain. And we are certain because these are the things Jesus has done, and we know it because history proves it, but he also lives in our lives. And so we have confidence that we can enter into the presence of God at any time. We used to couldn't do that, but now with Jesus, we can. The second belief, we believe in atonement. That is the blood of Jesus. Verse 19, by the blood of Jesus. Do a research on the blood of Jesus, how it pays for our sins, how his atonement, the sacrifice, takes care of our sin issue, and now we're able to stand before the Father in peace, not as an object of wrath. Thank you. That's big. That's what changes everything. And so when we gather, we're gathering because we have hope because of what Jesus has done. We have atonement because of what Jesus has done. But we also believe in the resurrection because of what Jesus has done. Notice this. We get to go into the presence of God by the blood, but also a new way through his body. That is the resurrection. Jesus was dead, and now he's alive. We'll talk more about that in 2 weeks on Easter Sunday. But verse 20, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. You remember in the Holy of Holies, there was that thick curtain. And once a year, the high priest could go in and offer sacrifice for his sins, atonement for the people. We can do that 24/7 now. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we gather, we think about the hope, the blood, the resurrection of Jesus. But when we look at this next slide, we have a high priest. You don't come to me for forgiveness of sins. You get to go straight to Jesus to confess sin. We have a great priest over the house of God. So that means the previous priests in the Old Testament, every year, they have to offer sacrifices for themselves. No, Jesus did it one time. And that's it. And he is our priest forever. And because of that, not only we have the hope, but we can approach God with any time. Notice this. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. You know what that means? God, I've messed up. I've messed my life up. And we approach God and God's going, listen to me, I can fix this. Jesus Christ is the solution to whatever your problems are. And we can approach him going, Father, I've messed up. Will you help me? Now, this is what I love also, verse 22. We're forgiven and are cleansed. He cleansed us from a guilty conscience. Now, you know what that means? It means that because of what Jesus has done and because you've trusted him, the Spirit lives in you. And that means your sins are forgiven. But it also means that when you sin, you confess that sin. In 1 John 1:9, he comes in, he cleans you up. But you know what it also means? He cleanses you from a guilty conscience. Satan wants to say you're sorry, you're no good because of the mistake you made last night or last week or 20 years ago. And Jesus is saying, no, my blood has covered it all. You're cleansed. Don't have regrets. Don't be put under by the devil. Know that I can cleanse you from a guilty conscience. Amen? So when we get together, we realize, hey, I'm free. Jesus says, the Bible tells us that in Jeremiah, God will forgive us our sins and remember them no more. So why don't we put an anchor of sin around our neck and drown? That's not the lifestyle Christ wants you to live. And so we understand we're forgiven and we're cleansed. I know there's a beautiful sermon there we could spend time on. The last slide, the last three things. We serve the only God who keeps his word. Don't you hate being lied to? or deceived. God doesn't lie. He's not deceiving. He lays it out right there. Verse 23, for he who promised is faithful. You know what that means for me, having hope? The moment I die, I'm in the presence of Christ in heaven. This world can be falling apart. God's still in control because the Bible says he sits on the sovereign throne of the universe. And so God keeps his word. But we also know as we look at verse 24, we are a body of believers. We have to love each other, forgive each other. We may get on each other's nerves. I know I get on your nerves. I won't say that you get on my nerves. None of y'all get on my nerves. But I know I get on your nerves. And you know what you do? You forgive, you love. Why? Because we're the body. You know, any of you ever had an ingrown toenail? And it just consumes your time and energy. That's what it's like when there's no unity between believers. And there's a problem. You're allowing little things to fester up and hurt. And so the Bible talks about getting together, working out the problems. But we have to understand we're a body of believers. In this room, some of you like rock and roll. Some of you like country and western. God bless you. Some of you like Christian rock. Okay. Some of you like classical. Okay. We're shaped differently. Some of you like Italian food, Mexican food, any food. Okay. But what the point is that God loves you and he's created us to be a body of believers. But the Bible says one thing. That we need to spur one another on. Now, I really wanted to focus on about those who are skipping church, but they're not here, so why talk about it? Okay? So we're going to talk about how we can spur one another on, encourage. Why? Verse 25, the last one. We know that Jesus is coming back. We gather because we know we're messed up, but we know Jesus is coming back and he wants us to be right with him as you see the day approaching. Amen? Now, I'm going to offend some people this morning with what I'm about to say. This next slide, Jamie, you can go ahead and show it. Why people avoid a small group. Back up one slide. Back up one slide. I don't want everybody to get mad right now. Some of you are in a small group. Praise God. Some of you aren't in a small group. I'm praying for you. Why? Because we're supposed to grow in Christ. And we grow with other people. We learn from other people. Guys, I'm telling you, I just didn't learn about the Bible sitting down reading it on my own. I learned it reading it, but then talking with other godly men and women and other godly pastors. And they help you to grow. That's the beauty of a small group. And that small group can be one-on-one, you know, two people, or it could be 20 people. But the point is, in my experience, no research here, just what I've observed over my nearly 40 years in a ministry. Yes, I'm old. I used to be a minister of education. And this next slide, let me give you five reasons why people avoid a small group. Time. They say they don't have time. Okay, I get that. We live in a busy world. I get that. I don't want to make time. Okay, now that becomes a different issue. Do you want to grow or not? Some, you're perfectly content where you're at spiritually, and you're just not ready to move to the next stage. Okay, I'll let you and the Holy Spirit work that out. Because I've never seen in the Bible a Christian that becomes stagnant. You're either growing or you're moving on. You're either going up the mountain or you're coming down the mountain. It's your choice. And I want to challenge you to make time for the most important thing in your life, Jesus Christ, because God took the most important thing in his life, his son, and he took the time to die for you so that you don't go to hell. And he wants you to grow. And to grow means you and I are conformed to the image of Jesus. And the greatest compliment we can get is when people say, I see Jesus living in you. Amen? And so we have to be ready to grow up. But I also know, did I skip satisfaction or current stage? I guess I did. Let me back up to point two. Some people are just satisfied where they're at. They don't want to grow. I'm happy. If I do something different, Satan attacks. I know people who will not come to church because they're afraid that if they start coming to church, the devil will attack them. Can I give you something? The devil's going to attack you regardless. And when you come to church and when you're with a body of believers, it strengthens you to take on those fights. When you're trying to do it by yourself, you get depressed. Satan has you on the ropes. And that's why people commit suicide. They feel like they have no hope. What is our first thing? We have hope because of what God does. That's what unites us. The fourth thing, why I've noticed why people do not participate in a small group, is that there's a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. Someone's hurt their feelings or done something, and they don't want to relive that. I get that. That's why you need to come to Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday nights, okay? Because we all have in this room a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. And then the last one is that we really don't understand the benefits of a group. And so, in fact, let me take time out, and let's just talk for a moment about the benefits of a small group. And there's several. You have this in your outline. First is being with like-minded and like-hearted people. In Acts chapter 2, the church has been formed. And what we see in Scripture, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You had a group of people that Jesus has changed us. We want to hang out together. We want to study Scripture. We want to talk about it. But it's more than just a Bible study. We want to do life together. We want to talk about our struggles. We want to talk about when our kids act up, or when a business partner stabs you in the back, or you know, when your marriage is falling apart, or you're struggling. Do you follow what I'm saying? We come together with like-minded people and we find strength. In fact, as I look at another slide, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, you can grow reading your Bible by yourself, but you learn more of application of God's word when you're with other godly men and women. That's why it's so important to grow in Christ. 8 rules: fellowship with godly people. Why do I want to fellowship with godly people? Because they're like you. You learn from them. Some of you have gone through things so disastrous. God got you through it, and now what he wants to do is for you to share that story so you can help others get through it. Amen? And God will do that. The second thing I've noticed about why the benefits of a small group is witnessing life transformation. There's nothing more exciting than to see one grow in Christ and are starting to reflect Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 again. Every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. Now notice this. These are people who live day to day. You follow what I'm saying? There wasn't any Kroger. There wasn't any HEB. There wasn't where they could go and buy groceries for a week. They worked, took what they got paid at the end, got their food, cooked it, ate, and then lived the same way the next day. Now, these are people like you and me, probably a little bit more poor than you and me, okay? They had nothing except they had Jesus, and they made a decision to allow Jesus to live in their lives, to fellowship with other believers. And notice this, they broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They're doing this every day. Let's talk about meeting every day. Some of you say, I can do it for 3 days or 4 days, but because of time, you follow what I'm saying. These people did it every day. And then they started praying. And then what happened? Hear me on this. God came, turned them upside down, and they turned the world upside down, and we're here because of what they did in Acts chapter 2. Amen? That's why we're not seeing transformation, is because we put so many conditions on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to work, it's got to be this way or that way or my schedule. Have you forgotten the lordship of Jesus Christ? That means you surrender. God, here I am. Use me for your glory, whatever and however. Amen? But in our American culture, I have rights. No, you lost those rights when you surrendered to Jesus Christ. American Christianity will not be in heaven. Only pure biblical Christianity, where you surrender to Jesus, will be. And so when we sit down and we fellowship with others, we worship, verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Notice this, and the Lord added to their number weekly, monthly, no, daily, because they were sold out to serve and to love God daily. What's wrong with us? Oh God, if you're going to move, it has to be between 9:30 and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Because I have these other things to do. And that's why we don't see revival in our churches today. That's why we're not broken over the lostness. These people are praying, they're fellowshipping, they're worshiping God, and the world's looking at them and they're seeing a difference and they're going, I need that. And when they say, I need that, that's when they come to Christ. A lot of people, when they look at you and me, they don't see Jesus. They're going, I don't need that. That's just a grumpy, bitter old pastor. I don't want to be around him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, y'all need to repent. All right, anyway. No, I'm picking. People need to see Jesus living in us. And that's the issue. We put our priorities ahead of the kingdom. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then everything that we need will be added to us. God's going to take care of us. He's been faithful. And if we live or die, it doesn't matter. There's a place called heaven that we're going to. And what we're living in right now is just a passing thought, guys. We talked about that brevity of life a couple of weeks ago. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all wake up with me. Notice this. Witnessing life transformation. How many of you want to see people come to know Christ every day? Man, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that we have to start new campuses and more churches and more lost people come to Christ. I'm not interested in being the biggest church. I'm interested in us falling in love with Jesus, fellowshipping with one another, and serving God to his glory that brings transformation on this planet. It can only happen if we say, yeah, I want to make the commitment to start growing. Another benefit is accountability. Holy Spirit wants us to grow. The moment you trusted Christ, you got a seed. You water that seed, reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit gets bigger and bigger in your life where you're now starting to do the things of God wants you to do. Or when the Holy Spirit comes in, you could quench it saying, no, I still want to be in control. I still want to do my things. But in your selfishness, you do have an advocate. His name's the devil. And over in Matthew 4, and then also in Luke chapter 4, you have the story of the temptations of Christ, where he's out in the wilderness, the three temptations. And after he gave Satan a bloody nose, quoting scripture, the Bible says this, when the devil had finished all the tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You know what that means? The devil's looking at you, waiting for an opportune time where you're so tired or you're having a spiritual victory that you take your eyes off of Jesus and bam, he's going to come after you. And when you're in a small group and you're struggling and you're hurting, that accountability is you can take your mask off. Can you pray for me, brother? Can you strengthen me? I'm getting weak in the flesh. And there's that accountability that helps us fight the spiritual battles. If you don't believe me, the next slide, Ephesians 4:27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Some of you have such a hurt or a hang up that you're becoming bitter. You might even be mad at God, or you're mad at the world or whatever, and you keep thinking about that hurt, that hang up, that habit that's got you mad at yourself or mad at other people, and you don't realize what you're doing. You're giving the devil a foothold to dominate and to harass your life. I didn't say that. That's what Scripture's saying. And you know what anger leads to? Bitterness. Go do a Greek word study on that. It's interesting, especially verse 29, where it talks about not being bitter. We won't chase that rabbit, Jamie. Another verse that I want to give to you is Matthew 24:12. This is why you need to spend time in a small group. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Guys, as we see the world moving further and further away from Jesus, there's going to be a time where we realize, well, if this world has already died and gone to hell, I need to spend time with Jesus. That's the only way I'm going to make it. And the only way that you're going to find sanity or sense or understanding of what's going on in this life is to be with other Christians, because there's meanness out there. There's injustice out there. And Christ has called you to be the light in the sand, but at the same time, if you don't have the support, you're going to get beat up and you're going to become part of it. Think about that just for a moment. Another benefit is that you're ministering and you're being ministered to. I mean, Covenant's a great place where people minister to you, but were they also to minister to others? And when I read Matthew 11, what comes to mind, verse 29, Jesus says this, and I know some of you are hurting, you're carrying burdens, you're struggling, maybe things aren't going the way you want it. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." You know what that means? Jesus is saying, hey, you're not going to do this by yourself. I'm going to help you. Now, Jesus does that by bringing other people into your life as well. That's the small group. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and for you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light." What you're going to learn, that when you walk with other godly people and you minister and you're being ministered to, life isn't that bad. We can make this. We can do this. Let's start ministering to other people. And let's start seeing them come to Christ or their lives be changed. Amen? I don't know about you. I wish we didn't have a Child Protective Services, CPS, in this county. I wish we didn't have CASA. You know what that means? Kids being abused. Problems. Issues. Parents not being parents. And the only way to change that isn't more money into those government programs or nonprofit programs, but for Jesus Christ to enter parents' hearts and kids' hearts. Amen? Amen? Just think about that. I believe the only solution is Jesus Christ. Now the question is, how do we put Jesus out there so people can see it? Speaking of ministering and ministering to, in Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon writes, "But one falls down, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who's alone and falls because there's no one, because no one is there to help." You may be watching here today and you feel all alone. Hey, at the end of this service, there'll be people in the back that will pray with you, introduce you to some small groups. You don't have to be alone. There are people who will walk with you. In fact, I'm pretty sure there are people in this room that have already gone through what you're going through, and they can share with you how Jesus Christ got them through it. Amen? And so, don't be alone. Realize, help is here, help is on the way. The last thing I want to say about a benefit of being a small group is that it's being part of a group that's changing the world. This is from the translation, The Message. I love the discipleship part here. Matthew 28 says this, "Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet." That's being the salt and the light. "Far in there in this way of life, marking them by baptism in a threefold name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded." How do you instruct people? How do you train people? Small group. Like I said, it can be one-on-one. Two people, three people. But here's the Bible saying, you need small groups to grow. I don't know about you. I want to see the world change. And I'm scratching my head. Why are there people from Korea, Africa, sending missionaries to the United States? Maybe because we, as God's people, have become lethargic, not concerned. And we just want to play church. So the question is, what do we do now? What's the next steps? Real quick. I'm almost finished. What's the next steps? Number one, start attending a small group. It's a commitment. David, I don't have to. Yes, you do. You can make time. You make time to change your diet if the doctor says you got to stop eating this or do that. Okay? You know, if it's a priority, you change your time. You make time for it. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. I want to challenge everybody in this room, if you're in a small group, I don't need to make our visitors uncomfortable, but I am. Forgive me. If you see someone you don't know, and I probably don't know a third of the people in this room, I double dog dare you with a cherry on top. If you're in a small group, go to someone you don't recognize and invite them to your small group. If you're not, you're a chicken. I challenge you to do that. Because this is what it is. How do we spur one another on? Everybody's here because I believe the Holy Spirit brought you here. Now it's our job to spur one another on in love, to meet together, to serve, so that we can grow. That's what the Bible's talking about. Unfortunately, there's some people, they're not here today, that have given up meeting. Okay, we pray for them. I cannot find in the Bible an inactive Christian. You're either growing in Christ or you're not. You're either filled with the Spirit or you're quenching the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Amen? And so we need to make a decision today. Will I start attending a small group so that I can grow in Christ? The second thing is to start growing in Christ. You start attending, and what does Paul say? A new revised standard version. I like this translation. Keep on doing the things you've learned. What have you learned today? Be in a small group. Read your Bible. Okay. You've received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So the next step. First step, start attending. Secondly, start practicing the spiritual habits. If you don't know those, come next Sunday afternoon. You'll learn them. We'll talk about them all the time on Sunday morning here. Reading your Bible is one. Spiritual habit. Fellowshipping with others, serving. We've talked about some of the spiritual habits this morning. And what does it say? And the God of peace will be with you. I don't know about you. Do you remember as a kid holding your mama's hand or your daddy's hand at a supermarket or outside or whatever? And as long as you're holding your parents' hand, you're safe. I'm holding the hand of the Creator of the universe, the Redeemer of all mankind. Satan, destroyer. There's nothing bigger and tougher in this universe than God, who I'm holding his hand. So you make a decision to start holding God's hand where he can change you. And the third thing, we got to do this, and we struggle, is to start praying. Praying that God would change our hearts. Praying for revival. Praying for our friends to come to know Jesus Christ, or our family members to repent. Notice what Paul says. One more thing, friends. Pray for us. Thank you for praying for me. Pray that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the country to a groundswell of response, just as it did among you. We're praying for revival. Man, wouldn't it be cool to start seeing some of these prisons close down? Why? Because there's such a great awakening. God is changing lives. The Welsh revival of the late 1800s. I'll just close with this illustration. A bunch of miners come to Christ. In the mines, they had these donkeys and mules, and they would use cuss words for their commands. Well, once these miners came to Christ, they had to get new donkeys and mules to work the mines because they didn't understand the new commands because it was missing cuss words. You follow what I'm saying? We can change the culture if we surrender to Jesus Christ. What do you say? How about you? Do you want to change? Easter's coming. The two times that people are very receptive, Christmas and Easter. That's why we call people CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. Okay? And here's a wonderful time to get a lot of people to come to church so that we can introduce them to Jesus and to help grow. And again, I want to challenge everybody in here. If you're in a small group, look around. If you see someone you don't know, or if you're unsure that they're not in, ask them to join your small group this week. I'm going to ask Scotty to come forward. He's going to lead the invitation. I'm going to turn it over to him. The praise team's coming up. I'm going to lead us in prayer. If you have taken a membership class and you want to join, you come and share with Scotty. If you need prayer requests, Scotty's up here. There's others in the back that will pray with you. The altar's open if you need to rededicate. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for loving us and for saving us. Help us now to surrender to you. Help us, Father, to live a life that brings you glory. Use this church, Father, to advance the kingdom. Use our lives, Father, to advance the kingdom. Help us to encourage one another as we serve you in small groups. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as our praise team leads us in I Speak Jesus.